7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 7 of Color of Magic. As always, I am one of your hosts, Daquan Watson, and your other host, riding shotgun here, is Brian Allen. How you doing, dude?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, man, you got a lot of energy today. This is awesome. We're going to need it. We got a lot to go through.
I got my caffeine IV drip right here, you know.
Yeah, I mean, last week was cool. So I got online and actually did some extra streaming. Got on only briefly, but had a bunch of people come through. We gave away some arena codes for some of the Planeswalker decks. So nice. I'll be doing more of that this week. So if anybody wants to hop over and hint, hint, follow me over on Twitch, they'll probably do some giveaways for you.
Soft sell.
Yeah, no joke. So what have you been up to in the last week, man?
Oh my goodness. I've mentioned, I also have a YouTube channel and a Twitch, and I decided I'd do that whole 100 upload challenge thing that people do on YouTube. So yeah, I'm planning to do a video every day for 100 days. You know, you can't say what you're gonna do tomorrow because I could get hit by a bus or something, but the plan is to do an upload every day. And this is gonna be, as a matter of fact, day 7. What are the coincidences?
I think I might need to try that. Put myself on a challenge to stream at least no less than 1 hour for like at least 60 days, like in a row, just boom, 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 put up some time. I think that could be really cool.
Because man, whether it's podcasting, Twitch, YouTube, one of the most important things and really one of the only things you can kind of sort of control is consistency. Because you can get up and you can push those buttons every day. You can't necessarily control what kind of show you're going to have or how many people are going to show up, but you can get up, you know, every day that you can find the time and just, you know, go for it.
Oh, you know what else? I would be really remiss, but we got another patron this past week. So the one and only Sheldon Menery. So we would like to say thank you, Judge Sheldon, for supporting the show. Like, he believes in us. It is so nice.
Yeah. that's a patron right there.
That's like a good seal of endorsement.
Yeah. You know? That's so a legendary patron.
We're making it. Little by little.
Episode 7, man. It's crazy, hyped.
Right? We're almost 2 months in. It seems like
just yesterday you were emailing me like, hey, you know, I got this idea I've been thinking about. And, okay, you know, tell me some more. And we're 7 weeks in.
Hey, as long as people are responding, we're going to keep doing it, you know?
And man, people really are. I'm a little bit shocked that it took off this fast. I'm humbled because we've got hundreds of people listening to this. I can't tell you how many. I mean, your average comedy club, I'm going to guess, probably only holds 200 people. So these are the largest audiences I have basically ever spoken to in my career. And I try not to think about it while I'm doing it. So I've already said too much.
Oh, okay. So one of the things we want to do, we were talking about this off the air, and want to do a cool news segment. Just what have we learned this week? Because we were talking, like, there's a lot of stuff out there, both from just a magic perspective, some things we don't know or have learned to just make us better at magic. But then there's also other stuff that just involves people of color that we didn't know that we learned. So when we discover it, we figured it'd be cool to share it with our listeners. So this past week, I was looking around and I discovered, which this was cool because I don't know how I didn't know this, having several friends around the medical field and stuff, but a black woman created the first laser cataract surgery. Her name is Patricia Bath. Yeah, I had no clue, but her name is Patricia Bath, and I believe she created it in 1986. And she was alive up until earlier this year, actually. So I feel like so bad. I didn't know this was a thing. So there you go.
I didn't either. And, you know, I like to think that I know a few things about black history, but that one slipped by me as well.
So that was mine. What did you learn this week?
I learned, I've been married for 16 years at this point. My wife just got around to mentioning to me that apparently her great grandfather was a sheriff in Louisiana in the 1800s. And I don't need to tell you, we didn't have very many of those back then.
That's actually pretty cool. The fact that it was the 1800s and they had a black sheriff is, that's like, needs to be noted.
I'm waiting for the movie. I want to find out more about this guy. And I'm hoping there's some records somewhere, and maybe if depending on the era, at least a photo or some records. Because I want to do a whole video about this at some point. Because it sounds incredible. It sounds like a movie, really. And how have you been married to me 16 years, and I'm just not hearing about this?
But see, that's why we have this segment, right?
Like, exactly.
No matter how much you think you know about a thing, you can always learn more. Sometimes, yep. Like there's always that opportunity. So we also had this past week. A Mythic Championship happened.
We did.
Yeah. And we did have
a breath, deep breath. Yeah,
we had a lot of Okos, man. A whole lot of Okos. I think it was something like 46% of the registered decks or something were rocking Oko.
Is that a record? Do you know? Or is that seems like
that's, if it's not a record, it's
gotta be.
Gotta be right up on it. And on top of that, I mean, we had more forests registered than anything else. So yeah, there was a ton of those try to support the green.
You gotta
a
lot have the green, you know?
Yeah, so it was... Now, I will say this. Obviously, the metagame was not the most diverse, but the gameplay was really good. There were a lot of, like, real technical plays. There were a lot of real deep, you know, the deep cut kind of plays where, like, yeah. You had to have knowledge of the matchups to really make stuff happen. And when you got to the top eight, there were a lot of very skilled players. It wasn't full of, like, you know, four or five people who just made their first top eight or playing in their first Mythic Championship and then, like, one or two pros. I mean, there were some names in there. And your finals, which was won by Andrei Strosky, who was the winner, ultimately, he played against PV, you know, Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa, who is a longtime veteran. Like, so that was well played.
Throwing down.
Yeah, it was really cool. So, despite everybody's tensions with Oko.
It was Oko on Oko action, you know, but yeah, still.
Which is probably the nice way to put it.
Yeah.
The event itself was still really cool. I thought coverage was good. I liked the little, you know, vignettes and the things where they were showing people like doing their first picks out of draft packs and stuff. Like, I thought overall the whole production was pretty good, especially when you consider the difficulties of having to do that type of event when you don't have a diverse metagame, like trying to find people that the fans want to watch or find certain matchups that are more interesting to watch. They did a pretty good job because there's a way it could have been done where it felt really forced and you're just like trying not to put a bunch of Oko matches on tables, but it didn't feel too much like that, which was really nice.
It's like, you know, if I could throw in a sports parallel, you know, everybody talks about, oh, Eastern Conference basketball is so bad, but still, when Giannis is playing, you want to watch what he's going to do. Or anybody that's on, like, you know, Kyrie Irving, any of the elite players, while the overall level of basketball might not be what you like to watch, you still, when they get the ball, something exciting is probably about to happen, and you're all waiting for it. You know?
Oh, yeah, but you see, here's the other part. Like, okay, this is a throwback for some of the football fans when John Madden used to call games. Like, you do sometimes get in those situations where you're watching a Sunday night or a Monday night game. There's nothing else. No other football games you can turn to because that's the only game on. And it's a blowout like 35-3 or 35-10. So Madden has to try to come up with entertaining things to get you keep listening. So all he's talking about is like some college from like 1897 that had the fighting artichokes or whatever.
Turduckins.
Yeah, or he's circling linemen's legs talking about their cankles.
There you go. You beat me to it. I swear to God, I was about to make a cankle joke. Great minds think alike.
But that's what he was doing, though. I mean, he was, like, scraping the barrel for stuff. So, like, we could have been in that situation, right? Like, we're just trying to avoid talking about Oko, so here's all this other stuff. But it didn't really feel that way. I got to give credit where it's due. I mean, the production felt pretty good. It was fun to watch. The players were great. So, yeah, I don't have really any complaints in that regard. And congratulations to the winner.
Absolutely.
But to that end, we went through, I guess we want to call it Mythic Championship Oko.
Yeah.
And
that's what I think people are calling it.
We've been talking about bannings the last couple weeks. This week we had another card banned. Only in Pioneer, though. It was Veil of Summer, which doesn't surprise a lot of people who've been playing a bunch of it. They just thought there were going to be more cards this week on the list.
Yeah. But
last week we had three. This week we had one. So, you know, we don't know what we're going to get week to week.
Oh, wait, is there no hammer? Do we?
Let's break out. We have a hammer. You know, like we can. There you go. Well, we'll make it official. The card's gone.
Yeah. Well, once you add a sound effect, you can't take it away.
That's true.
If we're still doing this 5 years from now, the podcast will just be sound effects. We'll have a podcast.
Probably like every 2 weeks we keep finding new things to put on the soundboard. Like we'll be using them every other statement.
It will just be a soundboard here if we're still doing this in, let's say, 4 to 5 years. Boop, boop. It's going to be R2-D2.
Sadly, I think there are people who would be highly entertained by that.
ASMR is a thing. So, yeah.
Some, because they wouldn't have to listen to two of us talk so long. That would be part of it, I'm sure.
Oh, if that's my wife, stop sending those messages in.
Yeah, true.
Cut it out, Tish.
Like, we're all predicting that Oko's going to be gone next week.
My boy.
Now, granted, I say all. I'll say 98%, because there are a few people that are assuming that we may lose other parts and not Oko. But in the event we do lose Oko, Brian had this wonderful idea that we should do an ode to Oko.
Yes.
With top 10 reasons we appreciate Oko.
Yes, like I guess virtually every comedian of the past 30 years or so, I've been kind of influenced by David Letterman. And, you know, Letterman himself admitted he stole top 10 for somebody else. So in the fine tradition of, hey, keeping ripping stuff going, top 10 reasons not to ban Oko from the home office. And I guess Eldrain, I guess where we'd say the home office is.
Yeah, we'll call it that. So okay, here we go. Hit us with number 10.
All right. The Fae are underrepresented as planeswalkers, and this cannot stand.
That's a good one. Number 9.
Oko is a shapeshifter. If you ban him, he's just going to turn into another planeswalker, and he's still going to ruin all your games.
Good call.
There you go.
Number 8.
You know, we all, you know, argue about different things in Magic, but really, Oko is kind of like Ozymandias. He gives us all something to be unified against. And Magic players need that, really. Unification. That's what I'm saying. He brings us all together.
True. Number 7.
All right. You don't want to upset the Elks. Have you dealt with the Elks? They got a heck of a union, man. You don't want to. Elks got lawyers. They got representation. You don't want to fool with the Elks, man.
I'm so glad you didn't share these with me beforehand, because I'm having fun right along with the listeners discovering what these are.
Me too, really. Okay, here we go.
Number 6.
Look, it hasn't even been that long, really. It seems like a long time it hadn't been. If Oko goes away too soon, we're going to forget this era too fast, and something worse will come out. It just, you know.
Too true. Too true. Number 5.
Oko is a great cook, everybody. And how are you going to ban a great cook during the holiday season? You wouldn't throw a cook out of your house in November. Come on. Who does that?
Everybody, I know some people are going to be looking for a cook, honestly. I know some people that can burn water. So that's going to be a thing. Number 4.
Guys, he's already banned in Brawl. And as they said in Talladega Nights, that's a really good compromise, Ricky Bobby.
Number 3.
Oko has washboard abs, and those promote wellness in the Magic community. Who hates washboard abs?
That dude's
abs?
Got like Come a 12 on. Pack. Yeah,
he does, man.
Number 2.
All right. I think the problem here is really just marketing. Oko, Thief of Crowns, kind of presumptuous. He needs a hipper name. Oko's new name from henceforth shall be Mr. Steal Your Crown. It's Mr. Stinky Crown here, but right. You like that a lot better.
I actually really do like that a lot better. And the number one reason we should appreciate Oko and not get rid of him.
I couldn't get 10. Kill him. I couldn't give up with 10 reasons to keep this. And I was a fan at the beginning, but yeah, this is.
I was wondering what you were sitting on something awesome, but I don't blame you. There's just not that much love to go around for that guy.
It has officially gotten completely out of hand. It escalated quickly. Even I think I'm in. And this is, you know, this is a change for me. I've been a fan, but yeah. Take him.
It's tough, man. It's such a good card, and I think it's so close to being quality that you want around. Like, it feels like there's a fine line sometimes between really good and just like oppressively broken. Yeah, it's a real fine line, and I think you can change one stat here or one way Oka works or whatever, and like the card becomes totally fine. But just as it is, it's just the wrong number of parts, I think, that, that got together and created this monster. So we'll see what happens. I think everyone's going to be clutching their figurative plural or pearls on Monday as we wait for the announcement, you know. Though I have this idea that Wizards kind of already knows, we're just going to have to wait.
Yeah.
So beyond that stuff with Oko, we had some other interesting news. I don't know if everybody saw it, but also this past weekend in Richmond, they did in, I guess what we're calling this, like a chaos draft-ish sort of thing with the mystery booster. But it turns out it wasn't a chaos draft. The mystery booster just has cards from every set for the last like 8 or 10 years or something. Like, it's crazy. So we'll probably include the link in the show notes for those of you just happen to have not seen it. I don't know how you wouldn't have, but this set has almost 1,700 cards in it.
We could
That's ungodly.
We tried to guess last week. I could have guessed from last week until I go into the grave, and I'd have never, that would have never been what I guessed. So yeah, good job. Because like we talked about, it's hard, you know, for stuff not to get spoiled. I'd have never guessed that. Would you have ever figured that out, Daquan?
Oh, not in the least. Like, I could have probably got to a point where one of my predictions could have been some mixed set of some kind, and maybe even up to like 500 or 600 cards. There is no way I would have ever predicted 1,700 cards in a set. Like, this is gigantic. I mean, you're talking about being larger than almost, well, we have average, what, 256 cards in a set these days?
Yeah.
So you're talking about something being as big as 7 sets worth of cards almost?
It's Brobdingnagian, I dare say.
Yeah, this is wild. And the cool part is they, for whatever reason, included these playtest cards, which are kind of cool. So you kind of get a peek behind the curtain to sort of what goes on in R&D and the things that they kind of mess around with that haven't seen the light of day. And it's cool because some of these might actually be mechanics one day.
Yeah. And we'll think, hey, that we saw that, you know, on the card that didn't get printed. Because sometimes, you know, the metagame has to evolve. Something that will be broken, you know, right now, maybe 10 years from now, there's things that handle it.
Oh, sure.
And power creep is a thing, you know.
Now, the interesting thing, too, about this product is that the only way to get the playtest cards will be to play in one of these mystery booster events at a larger event. So you have to be at a Grand Prix or a Mythic Championship or one of those types of things to get to play with these boosters and get those cards. However, come March, there is supposed to be a retail version of the mystery booster, but instead of having the playtest cards, they will come with foil cards.
Okay. Now,
here is the interesting thing. We know all the cards, or at least we know all of the non-foil cards in the set. We do not know yet what those foil cards will be, because they will not be regular versions in the set. The interesting thing about the set that's weird, and why it's, though I think the number was 1,694 cards, is that it looks like it's made up of 14 individual 121 card sheets. So for those of you who don't know how Magic's printed, you have a giant sheet that's 121 cards. Though usually when they're commons, they appear so many times on the sheet, and then there's a total of, I don't know, we'll say 8 or 10 like common sheets, right? So if you do a run of them, you'll get more commons than uncommons than you would rares and you would mythics.
Okay.
And generally, mythics all appear like once on a sheet or whatever. Or, well, among the rares or whatever. But in this case, each sheet is its own 121 cards. So they're not packaged normally. Like in each card slot in your boosters, so slots 1 and 2 are like a white card, and then 2 and 3 and 4 are blue cards, and 5 and 6 are green cards. That will be a common or an uncommon. Then you have, from what I understand, your last couple of slots can be a rare or mythic from the previous, I think previous to M15, I think, when they added the stamp to the cards. And then the other slot will be a rare mythic from M15 forward, you know, because of the printing that has to go into those. Because if you do 121 on a sheet, they all are going to need the stamp or whatever, so they look like the other cards, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, this is wild.
Yeah, so the weird thing is, in a way, if I'm understanding this correctly, effectively every card has almost the same rarity.
So even the mythics have the same rarity?
Well, yeah, because everything's only once on a 121 card sheet.
Oh, yeah. I get the math now. Okay. That's crazy.
So, I mean, I guess technically, because you can get a common or an uncommon in the colored slots, this is really weird to try to figure out. Like, they're slightly more common in a booster, maybe 2-to-1 than your rares or mythics because of how those break down. But like, even then, that's kind of weird. So I don't know. The interesting thing, though, is it's going to make the foil cards out of the set kind of really rare.
Yeah.
Because you'll get a foil in every booster, but that's only going to be 36 in a box of the 121 total. And we don't even know what they are. We don't know if they're all rare. Like, Gavin, from his announcements that he put out, sounded pretty excited about them, like we would like them. So it's possible they're taking a lot of cards that they just feel need to be reprinted, maybe even some high-value uncommons. Who knows? Maybe some crazy stuff for Legacy, like, I don't know, are going to end up on the sheet and be foils in these boosters. So it's exciting, man. It's kind of all over the place. I don't know what's going to come from it.
And like we talked about last week, that's great. Because how many times at this point do we get surprised by Magic cards? It's becoming a rarer. But yeah, this time they totally blew us away. And that's getting harder and harder to do in this spoiler-filled age.
That's very true. And I think just like we talked about last episode, like, this is the type of thing that's cool that it got kept a secret. It'll just be interesting to see how people kind of absorb it between now and then. Because it's also weird that we got this previewed this past weekend, and then the product's not going to come out for effectively, what is that, 5 months?
Yeah.
So I don't know if like the enthusiasm will be gone, or if they're going to double down and make the foils in this set super awesome, so people are drawn to it, you know, to rebuild the hype. So there's a lot of unknowns here that could be very cool, or it just like could just be mediocre. I don't really know.
As a content creator, I'm thinking about all the unboxings, all the streams. Man, it's gonna be wild.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, if we do an unboxing, right? Like, is it exciting or not? Like, I don't know, right? It's exciting just to see all the foils and see which ones you get because the list is insane. Or is it like, oh, they're just kind of like useful cards, but not great. And I don't know, if you don't open a Mana Crypt, you don't really care. Like, I don't, like, it's, I don't know what to make of it.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to find out.
It's a cool time, man. It really is. I appreciate Wizards for trying something new, at least.
Yeah.
And what that does mean, though,
everybody that actually, props to them for being able to keep this a secret also.
I will say this, it does mean we don't, at least as of now, don't have a December set release. In each of the last 3 years, we've had either a Masters product or Unstable come out in the month of December. So I don't know if there's still a chance we're going to get surprised with a thing in the next week or two, or if we're really just not having a December release.
I mean, you'd want more promotion in a week, surely, right? Just from a marketing standpoint, I would assume so. You would need it if you're, because people got to save money for it. Christmas is Christmas.
Yeah. So
my wife started Christmas shopping 3 weeks ago. Okay. So yeah, people need to know that they got to put money aside for this, because it'd be all by Christmas list if it was coming out.
Yeah. I'm not going to make that prediction because I have no idea, truthfully. But beyond the mystery booster, we still had yet more late breaking news. So day before, we're recording on a Thursday for the first time. We normally record earlier in the week, but
yeah,
interestingly, recording on a Thursday afternoon, there was some news that came out, I believe it was on Tuesday. I'm trying to keep my days straight. We had so much stuff happen the last week even. But Twitch Rivals on Twitter was posting back and forth to Magic Arena, saying, hey, we want to do some events. We noticed you guys were doing a banned and restricted announcement on Monday. what if we ran a big event that's open to affiliates and partners immediately following that with the new band list? And that'd be the first time people get to see the new format. So there was kind of like a little back and forth, and MTG Arena was basically giving it the, yeah, let's go, you know, like,
for real.
So why not? And now it's a thing. So there's a $75,000 tournament that they're going to be
owed.
Yeah. Real money. They're going to be running on Tuesday and Wednesday. I believe that is the 19th and the 20th next week. And it's, well, I will say it was open to all affiliates and partners. I found out about it in the middle of the day. So I did try to sign up. I am on the wait list. I did see, because it was limited to 200 people. I did see that they were surprised how fast it filled up. Because I guess, from what I understand, they didn't even have the wait list up immediately. It filled up, and then a few minutes later, they popped up a thing to add a checkbox for the wait list. And then that started getting a lot of people. So they posted on Twitter yesterday that they are trying to find a way and talk it over to see if they can increase the number of possible entrants. So this
75,000 people, you know, makes folks.
Well, yeah, $75,000 is a lot, right?
Yeah.
First prize is 10K. All the way down to 128th place, getting $100. So if you are in the 200 and it stays just 200 people, your EV is pretty good. Because if you go,
yeah.
I don't know, let's say like even you get four wins for sure, maybe three wins, like you'll probably be pretty close to making in the money and getting $100. And everybody who participates gets 10,000 gems in online currency on Arena.
Hey, that's worth doing right there.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So the rules, for people who don't know what they're going to be doing, the event starts at noon Pacific time on Tuesday. That's day one. It's going to be Swiss rounds. You're going to play six rounds, and then they're going to get down to the top 32. The top 32 will advance to day two, which will be played on Wednesday. It will again start at noon Pacific time. You're going to have 1 hour rounds. And then they're saying, no matter what, obviously everybody in day two is getting money. So the least anybody's going to make getting into day two is $600. So it's going to be a pretty cool event. I think it's going to draw a lot of attention. I think it's really smart by Twitch Rivals, truthfully, because everybody's going to want to see what the new format looks like. So yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I was going to say, as a content creator, in addition to whatever money you get, you can, if you're an affiliate that is an unknown and you go in there, have a good run, knock somebody off, you can get partnered out of this.
That's true. That's a good point.
You can be a superstar by tomorrow. If you go in there, you have a good, if you come up with some kind of crazy brew that nobody's seen before. Because that's what I'm happy about, is that affiliates, obviously as an affiliate, you know, and look, partners have earned the right to get a lot of special perks because they are, you know, literally the top 1% of people among content creators. But it's nice to see affiliates get some kind of cookie, you know, because that's still, there's far more affiliates than there are partners because it's an easier threshold to hit, obviously. And again, somebody could get partnered off of this event.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's really cool that they're reaching out to try to do this type of thing, you know, and I'm hoping other companies or other groups, because I know we have like the E-League Showdown, mm-hmm. And you have, there's one of the other ones too that has something on every week. So I think when people come around and see this, maybe they'll start going like, hey, here's an opportunity. If you're some of the first ones when there's a new format or right after set releases or whatever, like you will get a lot of viewers. And that turns into a lot of revenue, obviously, from ad streams and whatnot.
I think this is going to pioneer some things because this is something, you know, when you're doing digital content, you always want to see somebody do something that they couldn't do if they weren't using the internet. And this is a prime example of like, you couldn't do this, you know, because travel and on the internet, you get people together just in minutes. Because how fast did this fill up? It's like literal minutes.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a real good point, right? I've kind of become disillusioned with some of these games that I see people creating or offering or whatever. When I see on like Kickstarter or people trying to share a new product or whatever, I'll check it out. I'm like, well, you're just doing things in a digital space you can already do in a physical space.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what you can do, like, that can only be done online, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. This is one of those things where an announcement gets made on Monday. you can have effectively, you know, we'll say all the affiliates and partners that are interested in a tournament on Tuesday, ready to go.
Yep, this is the only way you can do that.
And from the way Arena's built, like, you don't have to go worry about hunting down cards or whatever. People already have all those in their accounts. Like, I have multiple decks right now I could play that I'm assuming don't have any cards that are on the chopping block coming Monday. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think this could be real fun to watch. I think there's going to be a lot of people interested in the results of this event.
Because are we thinking it's a Prevailing Wisdom just Oko, or are we thinking there's some other combo pieces that might get touched up?
If I were to make a prediction, and I think I posted this online, is that on Twitter, that my first inclination is Oko, at least in Standard. Yeah. And maybe in Modern. But there's a good argument to be made that they have created events around Oko. He's kind of the face of the marketing for the set, you know, all this stuff. So there may be business reasons they want to keep the card around. If that's the case, I would probably expect a combination of Nissa Who Shakes the World and Hydroid Krasis to hit the list for Standard. Okay. Mostly because those two cards tend to be the pivotal cards or the cards. Like, in a matchup, generally, either of those two cards start to turn the match and make it, like, once somebody has the advantage, possibly because of Oko, they kind of just start burying you deeper in the ground.
Yeah.
Or you get these weird standoff situations because of those cards, and then the games also go very long. So I would think removing those two cards could probably still leave some level of gameplay and balance to the format with Oko existing, but not have only Oko decks at the top, I guess. But I don't know if my perspective matches up with Wizards or not, or if they want to do something completely different.
I feel compelled to say he was right about Embercleave. He told you all, you didn't listen, so.
Well, I also didn't tell people to buy their Okos when they were like $20 either.
Yeah, nobody hits all the time, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I gotta get me some Sex Panther. Maybe that should be our first sponsor. I need to reach out, see if we can get sponsored by some Sex Panther, right?
There you go. That would be the coolest sounding sponsor ever.
All right, so wrapping all that up, that was a ton of news. Like, that was super busy. But we do have a pretty serious thing we're going to discuss. Not that everything we talk about at the dinner table isn't already serious, but we do want to talk about the situation that some people may not know about that occurred at the Mythic Championship this past weekend. And there's a couple of things we want to say kind of before we get into this. Is we know this is a sensitive topic. We know this is a thing that people have already spouted tons of opinions about one way or the other on social media. We have talked about it extensively. prior to recording.
Our prep session was longer than usual by a significant margin.
Yeah, and our perspective was, you know, if we are going to talk about difficult things, we cannot shy away from things that are socially relevant and big in the moment. So we have decided to go forward with this conversation, and we are not taking it lightly, so I hope nobody thinks we're being flippant or disrespectful or any of that stuff, you know, along with this conversation. We also want to say that, like, we are well aware and totally agree that every single person that plays Magic, that wants to enjoy this game, that wants to be part of our community, should be welcome, should be represented, should feel safe. You know, we do believe in all those things, you know, so we don't want anything we say to be taken here as invalidating anyone's perspective or feelings, because, like we've said before on the show, like, we are not speaking for any single congregation of people. Like, we understand that everybody has different lived experiences that leads to their perspectives and situation. With that being said, to kind of fill in the gaps for those of you that don't know, there was a situation at the Mythic Championship where Autumn Burchett, who is a previous Mythic Championship winner, and is transgender, had some lands that had, I believe, trans rights or human rights written on one and no turfs on gruel turf written on the other, that they were wanting to play in the event. And I guess the way I understand it is tournament officials had told Autumn that they could not play with these lands. And that obviously started quite the social media storm, to say the least.
Yeah.
Enough that people came out supporting Autumn on the stream live, and there was a lot going on in the chat, but there was different stories to what level of moderation was going on. Like it was, I don't know if I would say intense, but it was emotional, I think, for a lot of people. I think
intense is a pretty fair word.
Okay. But we'll say this, like, just to lay out the facts, like, they were later given a different set of lands that they could write on. And these were Sharpie statements on the lands, just for people who haven't seen the pictures. And I think Watsy eventually got to the right conclusion to allow Autumn to play with the lands. And I don't feel that Wizards disagreed with the message. I think the other issue, too, is the lands had Therese Nielsen's name scratched off of them in addition to the message. And granted, this has not been made a statement from Watsy. This is me assuming that there's likely was something that had to be determined with the name being scratched out and turf being on one of the lands, the term TERF turf, by the way. And I don't know this, but I do feel there are possibly some HRPR legal situations that could be around that. If that's on camera and that becomes a story and stuff, I don't know. Like, but those are things that I think would need to be talked about, which probably led to them kind of wanting to put the brakes on for a second before allowing it to move forward.
And I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of people, because I had to look it up also, that apparently TERF is an abbreviation for trans, exclusionary, radical, feminist. Because I know a lot of people probably have never heard that term before.
Totally fair. No, that's good that you shared that. I mean, we do want people to be at least educated about what we're talking about. And now with this situation happening, me and Brian got to talking, and we had the thought of, like, we can't speak, obviously, from the position of a transgender person. Now, I will say, I did have conversation with three of my trans friends, because I just wanted their input. Like, hey, how do you feel about this? It's like, because obviously, again, we have different lived experiences. I can't speak to that. And sometimes I will admit, I am too logical trying to look at all of the implications, business reasons, blah, 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 around all these things. So I know my perspective is not always the most popular or the same as a lot of people. And even from them, I had two that were, no matter what, should have been allowed, whatever. You know, I had another that they were on the fence, kind of like they liked it. They didn't like the implementation of the message. So I think it's a hard subject. But that aside, you know, you and I obviously cannot speak from the position of a transgender person. So
no.
Just like we talked about, like, we want to at least talk about it, like, from the perspective of a Black person, because that's all we have, right? As Black men,
yeah,
we can speak from that and the other issues we have had. So the position we come from is like, okay, well, let's say we wanted to put Black Lives Matter on a land. How would we feel about that if Wizards told us we couldn't? You know, so I guess let's just start at the top level. Like, from your perspective, Brian, like, how would you feel about such a thing?
I want to do it to see kind of what the reaction would be at this point. But if we go by apparently what has happened over the weekend, I'm assuming as long as we don't cross out anybody's name, I guess it stands. The part of the thing is just, it seems like we still have a lot of questions after this event.
I think that's a good point, right? We don't know. And truthfully, maybe Wizards are still deciding how to either say we don't want to have people riding on lands for whatever reason and then craft the language around that announcement, Because now it's also weird that if they do say that, it's like, okay, are you just doing that so people, because you had this issue with a trans person, or it's like, blah, 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 right? Who knows? Like, it will be taken multiple ways. Or do they want to just completely rewrite the rules so you can do it, but put the, I guess, exclusive reasons you can't. And then with that, you craft the punishments around it, right? Whether it's auto DQs or, I don't know, like, or is it everything but hate speech is allowed? Like, maybe. I have no idea. For me,
just a couple of weeks ago, somebody protested Hong Kong and it was allowed. So again, we were trying to see some kind of consistency here.
Yeah. And I think that's what also makes it tough, right? Even when I think about it, it's like, okay, well, we did have other issues that we supported. And it's, I will say this too, you know, it's tough because we have seen Wizards making steps to be more inclusive in several regards. Like we talked about before, you know, you've added more characters of color. You have gay couples in the, you know, history of Magic now. And there's several different things like that that have occurred over the last 4 or 5 years that you kind of, like, part of me says, okay, let me give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. You know, if they tell me I can't put Black Lives Matter on the land, okay, well, let's talk it out before I go get angry at somebody, right? Like, like you've built up a few credits with me. Let's talk this.
There's
one
a
out.
Non-binary planeswalker too, isn't there? I believe, or it's as much as they officially
yeah,
say.
With Ashiok does not have a gender, actually, so that's a thing. So, you know, and I will tell you, I hate slippery slope arguments, but.
Yeah, you and me both.
I do believe in the case of business, like we have to consider this, right? So much smaller scale that would not be international, obviously, streamed to millions of people or whatever. But let's say I'm running a big qualifier of some kind or some big event alongside a convention, which has happened for me in the past. If a player were to come up and, you know, they have all their lands and they all say Black Lives Matter or something along those, like, Black support things. How would I feel about that? And I was like, man, I don't really know. Like, we would have to talk about it for a second because we don't have any precedent for how far this is okay. And part of me says, okay, maybe everything is okay as long as it's not hate speech, which sort of feels right. Like, I mean, I say it and it sounds okay. Like, I don't really know. But then what we talked about, okay, so those of you that don't know, there to educate some people here, there are some towns that have the quaint nickname of Sundown Towns. And they get this name because it was largely understood that if you were, I would say a person of color, but particularly a Black person out after sunset, it would probably not be the best place for you to be. Potentially bad things were going to happen to you.
Yeah.
We also have towns like Jasper, Texas, where a gentleman was drugged down 3 miles of road. And this is getting kind of graphic here. I guess I should have given a warning. This you may want to check out for the next 5 or 6 minutes and fast forward. But a gentleman was drugged down 3 miles of road by, I believe, 3 white men. And this was a Black man that was drugged down this road. To the point that if you watch pictures or see pictures and watch footage, like they were circling body parts down this road that he lost while being drugged down this road. So that is very much on the minds of people in Texas.
Yeah.
Now, that said, there are good people from those towns. And I will openly admit that I have not, there were events that had occurred, there were tournaments in places like Vider that I just looked at friends and said, event's probably not going to finish till 8 o'clock. And, you know, I kind of would just want to leave whatever. I don't have to have a bunch of people in my car. Like, nah, I'm good. And just didn't go.
I get it. I would do the same thing. It just, And I know they're trying, because there are plenty, as you said, good people that realize the town has that image. And I honestly, as somebody, you know, that has had some public, I don't know how you begin to lose that image. I don't know if you ever do lose that image.
And I will say, from what I've read up on the city, they have tried to use black people in the images they put up on billboards. Like, they're starting committees. Like, they're doing all the right things, right? But you just have this image that's still there that's hard to get past.
Yeah.
So with that being said, let's say somebody were to show up to one of my events. And let's say it's a teenage white kid. He goes to the local high school or whatever. And on his lands, he puts, I don't know what their local mascot is, but let's say Vider Eagles number one, or I don't know, something that celebrates Jasper, Texas, right? Now, as an official, I'm having to make a judgment on the spot of, is this person being completely genuine, or are they only doing it because they heard that I allowed Brian to put Black Lives Matter on his basic lands? Like, and I don't know. Like, I would like to think I would make the right decision on the spot, but like, I think the toughest part for me is I understand how difficult it's been to run some events that I have run. And I have no idea how difficult it would be to be the one or two people in charge of orchestrating a Mythic Championship level event.
And I feel like most tournament organizers aren't going to. So again, Wizards has to lead here, and we need a definitive rule on what you can, or I guess how you can protest. Because it looks like they're going to allow protesting, but we need some definitive rules on what you can. Because all we got from the last event is like, okay, you can't cover up the artist's name, apparently.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like, I feel like if we're just protesting a social cause, I don't think it's so bad. Actually, yeah. I think it's fine, truthfully. I think the issue becomes with, like, what other things do we allow? And I think that's why I'm saying, like, it feels like a slippery slope argument, which I don't like. But at the same time, like, am I allowed to put a company branded message on lands? And now we turn our lands into advertisements? And then those end up on camera?
Oh God, man!
You know what I'm saying? I'm not genuinely not trying to be like devil's advocate here. I'm just like, these are real things.
I would vote no, because yeah, it's going to become a nightmare, and it's obvious that hey, this isn't a cause you support. This is for money. Although some people may really love, I don't know, Doritos, or is the first product that popped into my head, which shows you.
Yeah, so I don't, and again, maybe it's as easy as saying, like, okay, cool. If it's monetarily motivated or it's business associated or whatever, you just can't do it.
But there does need to be a rule. And the thing is that the thing that blows my mind is with Blizzard in Hong Kong having just happened, I mean, how have they not had this discussion, or if they've, or maybe they've had it and they're still working it out, but with the amount of content that people create every week, just in terms of Twitch and YouTube, and we got to, whatever the rule is, we got to get a hold of it pretty fast, or we're going to be talking about this again in a week or two.
Yeah, I agree to that totally. I think that if there's anything that I would say is bothersome really for me out of this, is that we have now reached Thursday, and there's no clarification. Because I'm okay if we even say, like, we are not going to particularly talk about the details of the situation from Saturday, but at least creating messaging for a clarity on the rule involving that type of situation is what I think should be out there. Yeah.
As you said, I know they got PR people. This is your job as a PR person to figure out what statement you can put out, what it needs to include, and how you get on top of this. This is crisis management 101 right here.
Yeah, truthfully, I feel like this is almost even more legal than PR. Truthfully.
It could be.
So I don't know.
But in terms of, you know, once people are complaining, now it becomes PR, because I would say the majority of opinions I've seen on this are not positive.
Oh, they're definitely not. And I,
so at that point, it's a PR issue and you got to get on top of it.
I will totally say, though, again, I am being overly logical about some of this. Like, I do totally understand people's perspectives. And I will say, I do largely agree with the majority of them that it's a thing that we should have done, should have been allowed. More than anything, I feel like we should have gotten to the positive conclusion sooner.
Yeah.
I do understand there's some nuances there with what particularly happened with Autumn's situation, but still, it's something that should have been resolved sooner. Like, because again, for myself, I think if it happened in my event, I might have told somebody, like, hey, let's not use those, but let's talk about it, you know, between rounds or whatever, and we'll see what we can do. And then work it out to get closer to where we want to be. And then that person, at the very least, has an understanding of where I'm coming from. Because, like, it's man, it's tough space. It's one of those things, like, even here where I'm talking about it, it's a little emotionally charged, you know, where you're just like, oh, this shouldn't be so difficult, you know, but.
Yeah. Also, has Wizards ever addressed Nielsen's contract or said, hey, these comments that she made, I don't know exactly when, because I managed to miss it the first time this blew up. So have they ever.
My understanding is that she has gone back and I guess, I don't know if I could say retracted that statement, but basically re-clarified her stance, I guess, after seeing the pushback or whatever. And I don't follow her particularly heavily. I'm just kind of going by the snippets I've read or seen here and there. And it sounds like she's at least, I personally wouldn't call her stance as being supportive at this point, but it's like slightly further than neutral. I mean, it's the best thing I can say about it. Which still isn't great, don't get me wrong, by no means. But I think it's enough that Wizards isn't going to go and make a big public statement about it. So yeah, it's all very, very difficult, man. And
that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they don't want Therese Nielsen to work for them anymore. They would like to see, Therese Nielsen not be employed by Wizards.
I will say this, I think we've only seen a couple of pieces from her this year. From Wizards, and from what I know, like, depending on the other projects at the time, like, that could have been commissioned as far out as a year plus ago, almost 2 years ago, depending, somewhere between 12 to 18 months at least. So it's possible that those things were already in process or whatever, or paid for even, and that may be the last work shift. So we kind of have to wait and see what the next couple sets have to kind of probably get clarity on that, because I wouldn't expect them, barring some crazy situation happening, for them to give insight on individual contracts, truthfully.
Okay. And again, that's legal stuff. I mean, I get it. You know, and as we talked about earlier, I think probably, you know, that's part of the reason they wanted to make sure they treaded lightly in terms of what somebody said about Therese Nielsen on a card, because if she can go to court and claim that she lost to work over this, then there's a whole other financial liability that happens.
Yeah, I mean,
once the laws get involved.
I guess the equivalent from my position would be if one of the artists had made a, I don't know, a MAGA comment or voted for Trump or whatever. And then I'd scratch out their name and I put something on a land that referenced Nazis or something. Like, that could be kind of ugly gray area. But I don't think that, like, again, if somebody did that and brought to my event, I'm like, well, I agree with you. I hate Nazis too. But, you know, like, if we're streaming this, what do I do with this?
And not to go too far into the left versus right argument, but yeah, I feel the term Nazi is completely overused to the point where it has lost so much weight, unless you are literally talking about a white supremacist.
Oh yeah, no, and
that's not how people are used.
And I will say, anybody, when I talk about somebody being a Nazi, like, I'm literally talking about, like, I have seen people out with, like, their Confederate flags and Nazi saluting and whatever, like. Yeah. I'm talking about actual Nazis. Like, I'm not lightly just using the term for somebody who disagrees with me because I'm black or whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's tough. I mean, and I do genuinely, like, that was one of the things I always pressed for, and I still do now, with a lot of what I do community-wise, whether it's Magic or game-related or not, is, like, helping people feel included and at least welcome in more of the spaces, at least in any spaces that I am involved in particularly. So this situation was a little, I don't know if I'd say it was stressful for me, maybe a little bit unnerving. It's like, I don't know what the right word is, but like unsettling there, yeah. Maybe is probably the right word.
And I wish there's a way they could at least say, hey, you know, we didn't expect this. We're working on it. Or we're trying to, if somebody could just say, hey, we are attempting to craft a more cohesive policy, I think that would go a long way towards.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like we put a lot of, I wouldn't even say just companies, we put people in a lot of rough situations and expect them to have solutions immediately.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate sometimes, because it should be okay for, I don't know who the head tournament official was in Richmond, but for them to be able to say, hey, look, we agree with this message. There are just some things we need to sort out as far as what we are and aren't okay having on lands, on camera, rules around it, whatever. And then if they come back a few rounds later and say, okay, till we have it sorted out, we are okay with this being the situation for now. We will give more clarity in the next, I don't know, let's say 2 weeks or whatever. And then everybody's good. Like, okay, we get it. You support it. You know, you support Black Lives and all that. Like, we just, I don't know, it's ugly optics or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But we want you to get your message out there. Let's do it this way. And then we'll have a better thought out response in a couple weeks. I think I would be okay with that.
And one of the questions, you know, that we discussed earlier that people always talk about in terms of a protest, I've heard so many people say this about Black Lives Matter, you know, or taking a knee. Why can't you just protest after the game? People have turned off the game after it's over. Or if the game was bad in the third quarter, they've turned the game off. The national anthem is the beginning of the game. People are still watching. But that is your most effective protest when everybody is tuned in.
And that's the other thing, right? Like, because you know as well as I do, like, constantly people are being told, well, we don't want you going out and doing this thing in the streets or in whatever because it's bad and it makes traffic, whatever. Okay, cool. Well, NBA guys have a message on a shirt. And they're like, oh, well, players shouldn't have that on during warm-ups or whatever. It's like, okay, well, Colin Kaepernick's going to take a knee during the natural. Oh, well, you shouldn't do that during the natural. Like, each thing is just, yeah, like, okay, when is it okay, right? And what's the right message?
And what they basically a lot of times mean is, yeah, somewhere away from us. Somewhere where I don't see the protest.
Yeah, and
is basically what they end up meaning.
And that's why, like I said, it was kind of unsettling, because that was my thought. Like, okay, well, for this particular person involved, this may be their most public moment. So they're trying to use that moment to support their cause. And that I'm in support of.
Yeah. Because the thing that always, you know, we talk about stereotypes all the time in the show. So many people think that gamers don't care about anything other than, you know, in this case, their card game or their video game. They're not tuned in. They don't vote. We know that those are stereotypes. That's for the most part. Gamers are some of the most passionate people I know about a variety of
Oh, for real. A
variety of things.
So, yeah, I think you hit on a good point, though. It's sometimes just trying to take advantage of your moment, right? And if it is in the beginning of a game, or it's where you're going to be on camera or whatever, you're just doing what you know how to do with what you have available to you. And I also don't want to take that away from somebody. So, yeah, I think ultimately, if we got to a language that says we are okay with most messages outside of anything that's identifiable as hate speech, and just leaving it open-ended, because hate speech will probably change over the years.
Yeah.
And saying, but we also reserve the right to update this language or make a ruling within the context of an event or blah, blah, or whatever. I think that's probably the closest situation we can get to resolving this.
Yeah, because Because you can't keep going individual issue by individual issue, or you're going to have a nightmare on your hands.
Well, yeah, it's always going to keep coming up because the next group will have a cause. Or the current groups still aren't making enough traction, so maybe they have a new message or whatever. Like, we've obviously been evolving with the Black culture, and our message has changed over the years. So
definitely,
you know, we went from, hell, just trying to end segregation to now trying to make things more equal in different levels.
Yeah.
Or hell, lately it's just not getting killed by police officers.
Yes.
You know, so you may have a different message 5 years from now that you're supporting, but still within a particular group, and that should still be okay.
And then, you know, if somebody that I have white friends who refuse to believe police brutality is a problem, and if they put on a card "All Lives Matter," they technically, you know, by the letter of the law, have said nothing racist, even though I think to people that support Black, when I see "All Lives Matter," I feel that's basically like, I'm not racist, but is what I see when I see "All Lives Matter."
This is where I think we get into a weird space, right? And this is why I say, like, this is a hard decision for somebody to make on the spot. Because if I have a Black Lives Matter thing and somebody says an All Lives Matter thing, it's like, okay, we have to accept, like, that's where you have to have the latitude for the tournament operators to have a set of rules to work within. Like, if the tournament official can come over and say, all right, that is a message that is normally associated with being an anti-message to the Black Lives Matter movement. So for that reason, we are going to not allow you to have this.
And now you've got the argument where why is one allowed? And because they have it technically, I mean, it's not a racial slur. It's not, you know,
but again, I think it falls close enough. That's why I said, if you leave it open-ended on the hate speech thing, you can say, okay, this is something that's just trying to oppress another movement that's trying to equalize people. So, I mean, because honestly, okay, let's, again, trying not to be insensitive here, but man, this is going long, but this is actually a good discussion, so I don't really want to end it. But let's say somebody had decided later in the event to put, I don't know, like, trans women aren't women or something, right? Obviously, that's a hateful statement.
Yeah.
So that should be allowed to be removed. But again, I don't know if you can, like, define all of the hateful statements, right? Like, you just have to leave it open-ended enough to say, like, hey, this only exists because somebody else is protesting this other situation, so we can safely get rid of that one. And if you're going to be upset, you're just going to be upset. And again, it's the same thing with the whole "All Lives Matter," right? It's, you're only really saying that because this is a thing. Now, it gets a little weird whenever somebody's just like, I don't know, has MAGA on their mountains or whatever.
Yeah, because MAGA itself is not, you know, inherently racist.
But the other thing you then could have is, like, that is a political statement, right?
Yeah.
So maybe no political statements. Like, and again, I'm not trying to have the slippery slope argument, much as I am. There's just no, the argument of there's just not definitive rules around it yet. And I think that's what made the situation difficult. Because I think once you at least say, all right, here's our stance. We do support all these causes and these things. We do believe in people's right to protest. We are definitely against hate speech. Anything that falls into hate speech, monetization of company stuff, whatever, or any political statements will not be allowed. I think that covers the majority of your basis. But I don't know. Maybe do we include religious statements? Like,
this is,
I mean, I mean, I'm not even saying I truly don't know. I don't know. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I came into this thing like, I'm going to, you know, hammer them hard. Wizards is wrong. They effed this up, but there are so many, you know.
And I think I want to clarify my stance that I am totally supportive of all of these messages for different causes. I have supported many, many causes over the years.
Absolutely.
I have been out with people protesting things. I have donated to several things. Like, all of those are valid. All I'm saying is, and I'll even say this, like, I do think the situation was mishandled. I think there was a better way it could have been done.
Yeah.
We could have got to the same solution much sooner. They're generally just slow to react at Wizards when it involves legal or public stuff generally anyway.
And they gotta, you know, if this doesn't help speed up that process, I don't know what's going to.
Yeah, so I'm saying, I don't want to sit here saying, like, I'm trying to absolve Wizards of any, like, no, I do think it could have been handled better, for sure. Like, that's a given. And I am glad we actually got to a situation where the message was still allowed to get out there and they found a workable solution.
Yeah,
I'm all good with that. I just think, like, if I have a real sore point, it's that we are now encroaching on a full week. By the time listeners get this, we're talking a full week after the issue, that we don't have any further clarity. And I feel like over the last 20 minutes, we've sorted out a reasonable solution, and they could put all the legal jargon to it or whatever. But, like,
yeah,
I think where we settled would be fair. Like, you're allowed to put stuff on your lands. You can support whatever you want. Anything that's hateful or monetizing or where it falls into these three or four categories, you just cannot have. And then leave it open-ended to where we can make decisions on the fly because cultural changes, blah, blah, whatever, that we may disallow some items. Done. Like, I think that's it. And I think at least at that point, there's clarity. And because the reality is, like, there's this weird thing too, that once stuff is done, now if I have a store or business or I'm running conventions or whatever, and somebody wants to do that, I kind of have to allow them until I have.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who, if they make the wrong decision, they do open themselves up to some level of penalty, whether that's public opinion, litigation, whatever, that could destroy their livelihood because they made a decision that's anti what Wizards has allowed. Right.
Yeah.
But they don't have any clarity right now on what to do.
I mean, I hate to draw the comparison, but I've seen it drawn on a couple of, you know, major sites that reported this, where the Owen Turnwall situation, where Wizards did the right thing, but then wouldn't explain why they did what they did. So you just see one of the biggest names in the game not in a tournament, and reporters had to go in and find out why, because Wizards wouldn't say anything. And I get, again, there are all kinds of legal issues, but you can't take an action that drastic and not explain it.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I think there's maybe even a way it could have been explained, of just like, even if you said, hey, there are personal issues or legal ramifications or things in place that we cannot discuss. However, there are behavioral things that we disagreed with that we thought were reasonable enough grounds on those assumptions to remove them from the MPL. Done. Right. Like, that's it. Like, it's legally safe. You're saying there were just things that we didn't feel comfortable with. We wanted them out. We made the decision, moved them on. There's other things we can't talk about.
Because at that point, they've already been interviewed by, I'm going to guess, 15 different reporters from every major, you know, gaming news site. They know all the stories are coming out. They don't have to be the one to tell you.
Yeah.
They just need a basic statement that says, hey, we've discovered some things, and you get that. Kotaku and 15 other sites will have their piece out next week, and you'll be able to read it there, really.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too deep into that particular topic, but I do think you're right that it falls in that same space, that we still got to the right conclusion, but there's no clarity as to how or why.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest piece of overhanging issue that is unresolved.
Because at this point, Magic is officially an esport.
Oh, we are. Imagine, I mean, now when you have Twitch coming to you to say, like, hey, we want to do this thing and we're going to throw another $75 at it on a random Tuesday afternoon, you've made it. Like, you're in the group of esports now.
So when somebody gets kicked out of Overwatch League, you know, they tell you why. Because they know everybody's going to lose their minds until these people have fans.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people who feel that everything Therese Nelson said the first time was the right thing. She has thousands of supporters. I've read their comments online. So it's not an issue where there's not any way where she is not on an island, or where she's apparently reversed her stance, but she wasn't on an island the first time, you know, she spoke out.
For sure. Well, I think that was a good, healthy conversation. If anybody from Wizards is listening, feel free to use our suggestion. I won't charge you for it. I want to just say that, like, wrapping this up, I really do hope that we did not cause any undue stress or pressure to anybody listening to us have this discussion. we are trying to be genuine and we are trying to be sensitive. We know the topic is tough. We genuinely had a talk before we recorded that we did not want to ignore the issue. We feel that we had a different perspective to bring to a similar, you know, from a similar angle on the topic. And we just kind of wanted to talk it out and have that talk of how would we have felt, you know, and share that with people. Because on some level, there's probably some of you that are listening that had a similar thought or a similar feeling. And that's kind of what we want to explore. Like our show is kind of here to talk about these things that get swept under the rug or these tough perspectives that there's just not enough out there being talked about. So we didn't want to ignore it. We didn't want to.
We couldn't. We felt like we just really couldn't have ignored it. We're sure there are plenty of people, I think, at this point waiting to hear what we were going to say about it.
True. So, yeah, I like, and don't get me wrong, I welcome the feedback. I'm sure you do too. You know, like,
yeah.
However people feel, like, feel free to tweet us, send us a DM, shoot us a message on Facebook, you know, or even go to the website and shoot us an email. Like, we would love to hear how people felt about it. And I totally get that. I could also be totally in the wrong. And I'm not here to tell anybody else that they are wrong. You know, that you are welcome to feel the way you are or the way you do, because there are different things that happen to you that could totally change your opinion on a thing. And I think those are all valid. I just want that to be understood, that none of this is because we don't support any of these social messages or social causes. It's actually quite the opposite. I think, like we've talked about here, we just think Wizards should have more clarity on those things. So, or even get to that clarity sooner so we can have a better understanding of what the intents are or what other people that have to deal with similar situations know what they can and can't do. Because that's sometimes where that stress comes from, yeah. Especially for a tournament organizer, a judge. Like, you have a lot happening and you have to make decisions in the heat of the moment where people are emotional, and having that type of rule or paperwork to back you up is very important in those situations. So, again, the world is watching. I hope it was a good conversation.
It definitely was. I'm excited and a little nervous to hear people's feedback, but that's,
yeah,
that is why we're here. I mean, these are the kind of issues we started the podcast to talk about.
Exactly. And this comes back to the first thing we talked about before we recorded a single minute of a podcast, is we know the things we will talk about will be deep rooted for several people. They will be emotional at times. They are definitely things that several people may not even be aware of. You know, hell, we were even talking about, like, you weren't aware that Vider was even considered a sundown town, right? That was a thing.
Yeah.
So there are things we're going to be opening people's eyes up to. There will be perspectives we will be learning along the way from, especially when we have guests on. So yeah, this is exploratory in a lot of ways. And again, all of this is to support causes and to make things better, hopefully not causing any undue stress or pressure for anybody. But on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online, Brian? So when they decide to be mad at us, they know where to find
you. When they decide to send me the hate mail, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. And on YouTube, I'm in the process of uploading a video every day for the next 100 days. I'm on day 7, so yeah.
And as usual, you can find me on almost all social media at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, or you can just look me up by my name. I will definitely be doing some more streaming on Twitch. You can follow me over there playing Magic Arena, especially if I get picked up for this other tournament. But I still have a bunch of codes to give away for some decks and cards. So if you follow me there, you'll get some freebies. I gave some away last week.
There you go.
Right. I'm not sure if I'll be doing any of the multi-day challenges that Brian is, but maybe you'll get me on a 60-day challenge. It'll be tough going through the holidays, but I think that'd be a fun challenge.
Yeah, I don't think I thought about that before I started.
But yeah, on that note, we're going to call it good. On behalf of myself and Brian, wherever you are, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.